Good morning.
If you're sitting on the inside of the pew, would you please take the friendship register and fill it out and pass it down and so we can get a record of your attendance? And there's a couple of things I'd like to bring attention to in the bulletin. One is that you notice that the decorations and what have you are gone with the exception of the poinsettias. So if you got it, purchased a poinsettia, please take it and take it home with you today because the ones that are still left are going to be taken and disposed of. So if you want one, even if you didn't get buy one and you want one, come get one. Also, thanks to the people who did come in and take care of getting rid of all the decorations around the church. As a matter of note, this past week on Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday, we had security cameras put up all the way around the church. Okay, and if you notice, you'll see them on each, just about every corner around the church building. So we now have actually video of everything that happens around our church because we've had some instances of stuff being broken into and what have you, and had no way of knowing it. And the cameras are such that even after dark, they'll get a photo that you can actually identify whomever it is. So hopefully it'll help us if something happens again and we can actually apprehend whoever it is that's breaking in. Don't forget Wednesday night service. This Wednesday night. And any other announcements?
I just have a couple of things. It's a new year. Well, at least we hope it's a new year. And I was thinking that a lot of us have attended Sunday school and also Wednesday night services. If you haven't, come. Sunday morning is really, at least for me, is very informative because we have a very relaxing and a discussional type Sunday school class. That's the mixed, so both men and women, and we start at 9:45. And then we also have a women's class that's run by Annie, and that is also filled with a lot of discussion. And Wednesday nights, I can't always be here because of my job, but it's a great discussion. And if you like to sing, we also have the choir. Now, of course, we're getting to the point where we want some people out there instead of too many people up here. So, you know, but still, do think about coming to Sunday school on Wednesday night. I think you'd get a lot out of it. And we do go through the different books of the Bible, and so you learn a lot. So, thank you. There's no charge. Yes, no charge.
Any other announcements? Okay. If not, would you take your bulletin and turn to the inside front cover and let's do the unison reading that's printed there together. And it reads,
O come, let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel before the Lord our Maker. Thank you.
Let's continue our time of worship together this morning by standing and singing the choral call to worship that's printed in your bulletin. Please stand and we'll sing this together. We bring the sacrifice of praise.
Let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we do come before you offering our praise and thanking you for the privilege of being one of your children. We especially ask, Lord, that this morning you be with those who couldn't be here for whatever reason. Be with those that are shut in and those that are suffering from depression or illness or what have you, Lord. And we just ask that you put your arms of comfort around them and give them peace. We ask now that you be with us during this hour of worship. Help us to each and every one to open our hearts and our minds and draw closer to you. And forgive us of our sins. In your name we pray. Amen.
Please turn in your hymnal now to number 135. Number 135, O Worship the King.
If you would, take your bulletin and turn to the inside cover, and let's do questions 16 and 17 of the larger Westminster Catechism this morning. Question 16 reads, how did God create angels?
God created all the angels, spirits, immortal, holy, excelling in knowledge, mighty in power, to execute his commandments and to praise his name. Yet subject to change.
How did God create man?
After God had made all other creatures, he created man, male and female, formed the body of the man of the dust of the ground, and the woman of the rib of the man, endued them with living, reasonable, and immortal souls,
Make them after his own image, in knowledge, righteousness, and holiness, having law of God written in their hearts, and power to fulfill it, and dominion over the creatures, yet subject to fall.
Now turn in your hymnal to number 94. Number 94, Praise Him, Praise Him.
Come to the time of tithes and offerings, I'd like to read Proverbs 11:25, and it reads, "Whoever brings blessings will be enriched, and one who waters will himself be watered." At this time, the ushers will come forward and take our tithes and offerings.
What is our hope in life and death?
Dear Heavenly Father, we bring before you these tithes, gifts, and offerings. We ask that you bless each gift, Lord, and each giver. Help us to use these gifts to further your kingdom here locally and abroad. In your name we pray. Amen. You may be seated.
Well, I want to congratulate everyone for surviving the year 2020. And it's now 2021, a new year with new hope, with new joy in our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. As we come before the Lord this morning, let's remember not only to thank and praise Him, but also to call on Him in supplication for those who are in need of prayer. We have several requests this morning. Lily's brother, Richard, is suffering from a respiratory infection. We want to pray for him, for Richard. And then also Edith's daughter, Linda, who was diagnosed with a brain tumor, and she has treatment this week. So we want to remember to pray for those as well as others who are recovering and those who are currently in suffering from different maladies. So let's go before the Lord and call upon His name. Let's bow as we pray. Our gracious Heavenly Father, we do thank you tongue in cheek at times for surviving the year 2020, but in reality, we are grateful that you've carried us through this year with all of its ups and downs, with all of the problems. We thank you, Lord, that you have never left us, you've never forsaken us. You've always been there when we call upon your name. And so we thank you and we give you praise and glory and honor as our sovereign God and lift up your name this morning. Now, Father, we also pray for our nation this morning. We pray for the events that will take place even this week. And we ask, Lord, that you might cover them with your Holy Spirit, that you would be the oil that covers the hard times and the rough edges and the problems, the struggles, that you would help us, Father, to call on you as our Lord and as our God. And Lord, we ask you and pray and call and plead with you this morning that you would watch over this nation. We know and recognize that we're a divided nation. But Lord, we pray that by your Spirit that we might be unified once again as one nation under God. Our Father, we ask you to watch over those in our congregation, those who are suffering from problems, physical problems. And Lord, we pray especially for Lily's brother, Richard, who's suffering from this respiratory infection. We ask, Lord, that by your mercy and grace that you would touch his physical body and that you would heal him. Lord, also for Edith's daughter, Linda, we pray, Father, that this treatment that she's going to be having for the brain tumor this week might be effective and that this might be eliminated. We ask for healing, Father, for her. Lord, also we pray for Catherine Gibson. Ask you, Lord, to continue to heal her and also Tom as he struggles with physical problems. We pray that your mighty hand might rest on them and heal them, Father. Lord, we know that there are many other problems and difficulties that people in our congregation are facing even this day. Physical problems and emotional problems and difficulties. Lord, we know that most of us are tired after the holidays, and we pray that you would refresh us by your Spirit and that the joy of the Lord might be our strength. We ask, Lord, for the moving forward of our congregation in the year 2021. We ask you, Lord, to purpose in our hearts to be everything that you've called on us to be, that we might truly be a church that lifts up the name of Jesus Christ. Lord, for those that are mentioned here in our bulletin, we pray for John and Elizabeth Sexton with Mission to the World and the disaster response team. We ask that you would grant them mercy as they strive to take care of those special, particular needs that people are going through. Lord, we also pray for the persecuted church in Pakistan. Lord, those Christians that are there that are struggling to try to maintain faith in Jesus Christ in an increasingly Muslim nation. We ask, Lord, that you would help them and encourage them and protect them from evil. And Lord, we also pray for Covenant Theological Seminary as they strive to prepare men for ministry, men that would proclaim the name of Jesus Christ. We ask that you would encourage those in the seminary and strengthen them as a group. And Lord, again, we're so grateful and thankful that you're here with us. We're thankful that you hear not only our prayers, but also the cries of our hearts. And so we cry out to you this day and ask you as our God and as our Lord to direct us as our shepherd, to keep us close to you. And we pray these things in the name of Jesus, our Lord and great shepherd. Amen.
Now turning your hymnal to number 146. Please stand and we'll sing this together, number 146. How sweet the name of Jesus sounds.
Oh,
Please turn with me in your Bibles to our scripture reading for this morning. This is a passage that I'm sure many of us are familiar with, but it's Philippians chapter 4 and reading verses 4 to 9. Philippians chapter 4, reading verses 4 to 9. Hear now the word of God. Rejoice in the Lord always. And again I will say, rejoice. Let your reasonableness be known to everyone. The Lord is at hand. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. And finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is commendable, if there's any excellence, if there's anything worthy of praise, think about these things. And what you have learned and received and heard and seen in me, practice these things, and the God of peace will be with you. And may God add to understanding this portion from his holy word. The first Sunday of 2021, we have a whole year ahead of us, never been used before. We have great opportunities, great possibilities. You know, it may be a new year, but we still face a lot of the same problems that unfortunately have carried themselves over from one year to the next. We've still got the worries about COVID-19, and we still have the struggles with lockdowns. We still have problems with the election. All these things we will have to face in the year 2021. And you know, there's a strain that's beginning to show on people. Personal strain. People are having difficulties right now. In fact, I read yesterday that the Journal of American Medical Association, JAMA, which is one that people consult constantly, says that since COVID-19 was on the scene, heart attacks in the United States have doubled. A lot of this has to do with stress. A lot of this has to do with fear. A lot of this has to do with anxiety. I know people say, well, you know, COVID-19, well, that if they catch that, that'll weaken their heart. But so many of the deaths that we're seeing from heart attacks are not directly associated with COVID-19. There's actually another crisis in America that's paralleling COVID-19. And I want to read to you the symptoms of this problem, this physical struggle that people have. I want to read the symptoms. Heart trouble, fatigue, high blood pressure, insomnia, asthma, allergies, rheumatism, temporary paralysis, ulcers, colds, thyroid malfunction, arthritis, migraine headaches, blindness, heart palpitations, pains in the back of the neck, indigestion, nausea, dizziness, and much more. I know you think I'm probably reading the side effects from a new drug that's just come out, but actually this is something else. And who's affected by these? Everyone. So what is this disease? If it's not COVID-19, what is it? I'll tell you what it is. It's worry. It's fear. It's anxiety. See, fear of the unknown causes stress in us. We don't know what's going to happen. And so we're afraid of it. We're afraid of the unknown. We fear it. And you can't say, well, no, I've got that under control. That's not a problem for me. Because it affects every single person, everyone. So how are we supposed to deal with this problem that we're facing? Now, I have to tell you something. This week, in the United States is going to be a pivotal week. It is going to be critical. If you focus on January the 6th, this nation is looking at decisions that will be made that will affect future generations forever. And so this is something that's very critical for us. And you say, well, thanks, I wasn't worried about that before, but now I am. Well, but there's got to be a way for us to handle this and not get involved in all the consequences. I think the Apostle Paul kind of spoke to this when he gave directions to the Philippians. You know, the Philippian Christians were undergoing tremendous persecution from the Roman government. Because they were Christians, they were forced to work a longer workday. They were forced to pay higher taxes. They had their children taken away and educated by the state because the state determined that Christians could not educate their children properly. Does that sound familiar? That happened to the Philippians. They were under great stress. And that's when Paul wrote this letter to them that we call Philippians. And over again, he uses the phrase, rejoice in the Lord. Rejoice. You say, well, that's great. You know, that's just the old pie in the sky. That's just the old, you know, where have all the Christians gone to pray a prayer and sing a song? But that's not what it is. Paul was speaking to them realistically. And he was telling them, this is not what the Lord wants for you. God didn't create us to carry around this burden of fear and anxiety. And that's why we're told, don't be anxious for anything. When we worry over circumstances in life, it hinders our faith. It hinders our walk with the Lord. So what directions did Paul give? I want us to look closer at this passage today. And again, I know it's something that you've probably heard over and over again, but I want us to look at it just a little bit deeper. And I feel that this is critical for the first Sunday of 2021. The first thing Paul talks about is to identify worry for what it really is. What really is worry? You know, I shared this with our Bible study group some time ago, but it is so true. Worry actually is the word merimnao in Greek. And it comes from two smaller words. The first one is the word meridzo, which means to divide. The other is the word nous, and that's the word for mind, our mind. So what is worry? Worry, literally, from its own definition, is the division of the mind. Worry divides the mind between what's constructive and what's destructive. And in the process, it kind of pulls us apart. It leads to fear and to stress. And that creates instability in all of us. I want to read James chapter 1 and what he has to say. This is James 1, verses 7 and 8. And it says this, for that person must not suppose that he will receive anything from the Lord, for he is a double-minded man, unstable in all his ways. That's if a man asks for something, let him ask in faith, believing. Otherwise, his mind is divided. He's praying to God, and yet at the same time, he's worried about consequences. And so in his mind, he's being pulled apart. He's being divided. And that's anxiety. That's worry. That's exactly what it does. And God doesn't want his people to be worriers. You know, I know sometimes people joke, and they say, well, I'm a worrier, but, you know, my mother was a worrier. And in fact, my whole family, we have worriers in our family, and that's who we are. We're known for how much we worry about things. And, you know, or some people will relate it to some nationality. You know, well, I'm Italian, and you know, Italians worry about everything. You know, or I'm this or I'm that. And they try to blame it on something else, but worry is a personal thing. Anxiety. The accepting of anxiety is a personal thing. And God doesn't want his people to be worrying about all. He wants us to be able to place our faith and our trust in him, that he is the good shepherd. He's the one that's watching over us. He's the one that's protecting us. He's the one that no matter where we go or what we do, he's protecting us from the evil that's in this world. And the reason we put our faith in him, because he's the only one that actually sees the big picture. He sees it all. You know, sometimes I think about the Lord looking down on us, and that's biblical to say the Lord looks down on us. And when he does, it's almost like somebody that's high up in an airplane and they can see everything taking place at the same time. They can see this bridge over here that's out. They can see this car accident that's over here. They see all these things happening at the same time. And God, because he's sovereign, can move these things around, and he can protect his people, and he can bless his people, and he can do all these things because he is sovereign. He's over all things. That's why we read, all things work together for good, for those who love God and are called according to his purpose. That's like the Lord looking down and seeing it all and making things happen to bless. Doesn't always happen in our timetable. Doesn't always happen the way we think it should. But it always happens his way. And we can trust him for that. And we can thank him for that. Only God sees the whole picture. So how then are we supposed to deal with our consequences, with the things that we're being faced with? You know, we're looking at a year ahead, 2021, that has great potential for good and for bad. And so how are we supposed to walk? What are we supposed to do in this coming year? Well, I think that Paul gave the Philippians a kind of a formula to follow, something that we can think about and remember. And I want to look at that, and I don't want this to sound trite or anything else, but it's just a way to remember when we start facing difficult times. And here's the formula. Praise plus poise plus prayer equals perfect peace. They all start with the letter P. I like alliterations. Praise plus poise plus prayer equals perfect peace. Well, first of all, looking at praise. It means that we're supposed to keep on rejoicing at all times, no matter what the circumstances. You know, we go through some pretty hard things in life. Even Jesus said, in this world, you will have trouble. You know, it's not going to be a cakewalk. It's going to be hard, and it's going to be a lot harder if you bear the name of Jesus Christ. You can probably skate along through life if you never have a relationship with the Lord. But because you love him, you have a very personal enemy that does everything he can do to hurt you and to destroy your happiness, your well-being. Jesus said, in this world you'll have trouble, but be of good cheer. I've overcome the world. And so we place our faith and our trust in him, and we praise him. Our joy does not depend on our circumstances. Our joy does not depend on what the governor says, on what the mayor says. It doesn't depend on who the president is. It doesn't depend on those things. Now, sometimes we focus on certain things. Well, if this happens, then I know we're doomed to destruction, are we? Where do we find that in Scripture? I don't know. Because the Bible says something else. It says we place our faith and our trust not in man, but in the Lord. We trust him. And no matter what we go through, no matter what the future holds for us as a nation or as individuals or as a church, the Lord will be with us. He'll go through it with us. And he'll show us what we need to do. You know, even in this area of temptation, the Apostle Paul said, no temptation has overtaken you, but such as is common to man. And God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you're able, but with the temptation will provide the way of escape also, that you may be able to endure it. So whatever we're going to be hit with in 2021, we can praise the Lord. We can praise Him. We can be grateful to Him. Paul was in prison when he wrote the letter to the Philippians. And he says over and over again, rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say, rejoice. Well, because the bottom line is this, the battle belongs to the Lord. The battle belongs to the Lord. What happens on January the 6th is in the Lord's hands. And He will work things together to accomplish His perfect will. And we can take faith in that. Are we worried about the consequences? We don't need to be. Because the Lord has those in control. It won't always happen the way we want it to, or the way we hope it will, but it will always happen the way He wants it to. And we can take faith in that. That's why we praise Him. We praise Him. The battle belongs to the Lord. So praise. The second one is poise. And poise basically talks about who we are. And it relates to meekness. It relates to gentleness. You know, there is a time, we read this in Ecclesiastes chapter 3, there is a time to go to war, and there is a time to be at peace. And the Lord shows us which of those two we need to pursue. But whether it's war or whether it's peace, we need to approach it with a gentle spirit. Not in revenge, not in anger, not trying to get retribution. Look at Jesus. Look at the person of Jesus, who even though He was mocked and ridiculed, and even when He was hanging on Calvary, said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. The perfect example of meekness. And there's so many times when we want to just get off in the flesh and say, boy, I wish I had that man in a room just for about 5 minutes. Or that woman, I wish that I could give her a piece of my mind. Unfortunately, if we did, it would probably be a piece we couldn't afford to lose. But poise talks about a personal stability. It talks about an unshakable faith that no matter what happens, no matter what takes place, we have a confidence that the Lord will go through it with us, that He will take us through that and bring us out on the other side victorious. You know, the bottom line is that the last chapter of the book has already been written. We know how it's all going to end. It says so right here in the book of Revelation. It tells us what's going to happen. We're seeing things happen now that we never in our lifetimes, in our wildest imaginations, ever thought we would see. And we're seeing it. It's happening. Well, what does that mean? Does that mean this is the time when God's going to wrap everything up and it's all going to be over, that we're not only in the end times, but in the end of the end times? We don't know. We don't know what God's plan is. Might be. But He might have another plan. I can't help but believe that God is not finished with the United States of America. I have a firm conviction of that. And I don't know how God is going to spare this nation, but I believe He will. And I think that one day we'll be able to stand back and say, that was amazing, God. What You did was amazing. That's what our forefathers said when they won against the huge British Empire to give us our freedom. They stood back and said, this wasn't the work of man. This was the work of an almighty God. No man could accomplish this. And I think when we look at our situation, sometimes we feel like no man can overturn this. This is going to take the hand of an almighty God. But I believe God will do it. I believe in the year 2021, we're going to see God's hand at work. And see, that gives us a confidence that we don't have to fight these battles all on our own. We don't have to be upset. We don't have to be afraid or frightened. People are losing hope. The number of suicides gone through the roof. Even the children suicides, child suicides, have increased dramatically. Why is that? Because nobody's out there telling them there's another side to this coin. There's hope in a God who loves us and cares for us and will not abandon us. He says, I will never leave you. I will never forsake you. You know, this affects even the way that we think. And that's why the praise and the poise, this poise, Paul says in Philippians chapter 4, verse 8, the passage we just read, it says, finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is commendable, if there's any excellence, is there anything worthy of praise? Think about these things. One translation says, let your mind dwell on these things. You see, if we're watching mainstream media and we're watching things on television, our mind gets turned to all everything that's taking place and everything with opinion about why this is happening. And it begins to infiltrate our minds. And after a while, everything looks darker and darker and darker. And Paul says, do the exact opposite. Don't be focusing on those things. Be focusing on what's right, on what's true, on what's commendable. Let your mind dwell on the fact that God is in control of all this. He hasn't abandoned you. So there's praise and then poise, plus prayer. Well, what should we pray about? I think we all know. I think in our hearts we know those things that trouble us, those things that might keep us awake at night, those things that stir up our emotions when we feel helpless and we can't do anything about it. These are things we should be praying about. And you know, I don't mean just throwing off a quick prayer at the end of saying grace or something like that. I mean coming before God and pouring out our heart to Him, calling on Him. You know, the King Hezekiah in Israel knew that they were going to be attacked and the armies were gathering outside and the people were worried. They'd been under siege for a long time and there wasn't any food and Israel was in a terrible situation. And King Hezekiah tore his clothes and covered himself with sackcloth and ashes. And he cried out to God, and this is what he prayed. He said, O God, the Lord of Israel, enthroned above all the cherubim, you are the God, you alone, of all the kingdoms of the earth, and you have made heaven and earth. Incline your ear, O Lord, and hear. Open your eyes, O Lord, and see, and hear the words of Sennacherib, which he has sent to mock the living God. Here's the king humbling himself before God and crying out to him. And I think everyone from the greatest to the least in our country, from our president on down to the person in the street, should be on their knees right now crying out saying, oh God, save our nation, save our country. You know, all along we've said that what we need is a great revival. We need God's Holy Spirit to begin bursting out in people's hearts. A revival of spirit, a revival of heart in our country. He says, pray with supplication and thanksgiving. Supplication is making requests. And thanksgiving is remembering to thank God. that he's faithful, that he does answer our prayers. So what's the result? He says, here's the formula, you know, praise plus poise plus prayer. And he says that equals perfect peace. Perfect peace. Isaiah chapter 26, verse 3 says this. It says, you will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on you because he trusts you. You see, we need to cross-stitch that and put it on our wall, or maybe write it down and frame it and put it on our refrigerator. Something to remind us constantly when we start to get afraid, we start to walk in fear rather than faith. You'll keep him in perfect peace whose mind is fixed, is stayed on you. Praise plus poise plus prayer equals perfect peace. So we have to ask ourselves, okay, how are we going to apply this? You know, we've got some troubling times ahead. Things are going to happen that might be very fearsome. What are we going to do? When we start hearing these things, and we will, what are we going to do? Are we going to give in to that fear? Or are we going to look to an almighty God and cry out to him, just like Hezekiah did? Oh Lord, you hear it, you see it, you know all of this. We ask for your mighty hand to be at work. It's the only way we're going to have peace. It's going to be a challenge. Let's bow as we pray. Our gracious Father, again, we thank you and praise you that you've placed us here in a world of darkness, but you've not left us alone. Lord, you have been our constant friend. Those times when we thought that it was because of us that we prospered, it was because of you. Those times when we thought that the success was ours, when really it was yours. Lord, I pray and ask this morning that as we cry out to you as our God and as our Lord, that you would protect our nation. Lord, that you would protect us as your people, that you would continue to give us the freedom to worship you and to gather together to lift up your name. Lord, we ask that these things would be in your hands as our almighty God, and we thank you for never leaving us and for never forsaking us. For we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Now turning your hymnal to number 124. 124. We'll sing the first two verses here, and then the third verse for a benediction response. Please stand and let's sing these first two verses, number 124. Lead on, O King Eternal.
Please bow for the benediction. And now may grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father, and God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit rest and abide with those who love him. Amen.